You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies show. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, we got another good show for you. Well, depends on how you think about it, good or bad. the Grizzlies lose again to the Milwaukee Bucks last night. We'll basically break down that game this episode. We'll hear from some players, as many players as I was able to talk to in the locker room last night, kind of what they had to say. I don't have JB's press conference. I think everybody's probably already seen that. But I'll give you kind of an idea of what he talked about as well. We'll talk about all those things and more coming up on today's show. If you're not following the show on Twitter, make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King_Producer. Go like the Facebook page for the show, facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. And also make sure you're getting your questions in for next week's Monday mailbag. Those questions will really help out the show, so make sure you're getting those in. You can DM those to me. You can send those on Twitter to me publicly if you want. You can email them to me. You can send me a message on Facebook. Email is lockedongrizz@gmail.com. There is multiple ways to get in touch with me, short of just straight up texting me, but you can DM me as well on those on Twitter as well. My DMs are open on both the show and my personal account, so if you need something or have a question, and if you have a question that you don't want on the show, you just want to ask and you want me to answer on a DM, I'll do that too. So whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, but make sure you get those questions in for next week's Monday mailbag. We'll be doing those every Monday. Let's talk a little bit about this Grizzlies-Bucks game. You know, the Grizzlies started pretty terrible. They started like 1 for 2 for 14 or something like that. I mean, it wasn't great, but they played hard. You know, they didn't start well, but the starters were missing a lot of shots, but they played well, or they played hard. They were fighting for a lot of loose balls. Marc Gasol was shooting the ball. At one point, I tweeted that he had missed some shots or something. But yeah, John Roser eloquently pointed out that he's at least shooting the ball, and he's right. I mean, we begged and we pleaded and said, hey, you have to shoot the ball. You have to be aggressive. You have to do these things for the Grizzlies to win. And he was. He just wasn't making. He just wasn't making anything, which is fine. You know, you'll take those if you're aggressive. You're playing hard. You know, you're playing with energy and you're shooting the basketball. You're taking shots. You'll take that. You'll take the fact that you're down and Milwaukee's a good team. Then that's okay. And I think that's probably one of the main reasons I had a huge rant earlier this week on the show about this Houston game, because it was just, you know, there just wasn't much there, you know, especially in the second half. The Grizzlies get down early though. They were let's see, I have it here because I wrote the recap last night for last night's game on grizzlybearblues.com. If you want to check that out as well, it's on the homepage. They started 1 for 7 from the field in the first few minutes. Bucks 6-point early lead. The Grizzlies were shooting just 21% from the field and 16% from three out of the starters. Then the bench lineup came in, and that was pretty cool, because a bench lineup of Omri Caspi, Shelvin Mack, Javon Carter, Joakim Noah, and Jamaica Green were apparently it. That was apparently the winning recipe for the Grizzlies, because they came in and really brought a lot of energy to the team. They brought a lot of energy to the building. I mean, it was the first time I heard that building and that loud in a very long time. So they brought a lot of energy to the building. They played very hard. I mean, they were scrapping for every loose ball. The defensive rotations were extremely well. I mean, they were on point. Their defensive rotations were better than the starters. And as much shit I've given Joakim Noah, I mean, he was out there when it was happening. I don't know how much he's providing to that, but he was out there when it was happening. So defensively, he was doing something. Jamaica Green was playing fantastic. Omri Caspi, for much of the game, including the entire game, now that I'm looking at the box score, the final box, Omri Caspi, your leading scorer. But for the most of the game, he was it. He was the best player on the floor for the Grizzlies last night. Omri Caspi and Jamaica Green were kind of the catalyst for that bench unit right in the first half, and they got the Grizzlies back into it. They were able to get the Grizzlies all the way back, I think within like two, before the starters kind of rotated back in. And they played extremely well. Jamaica Green had a poster on Ilyasova that was like, he like dunked him into the ground. It was the most awesome thing I've seen in several weeks at the Forum. Just that alone. Like, that alone was worth the price of admission last night. But, you know, Jamaica Green played well. It's 14 points in the game, 11 or 4 for 11 from the field, 10 rebounds, and another double-double off the bench. I mean, Jamaica Green, he just continues to have double-doubles off the bench, which is fine with me. Someone's got to play. Someone's got to score. I mean, and the starters came back in that first half and were able to continue. They didn't start off well, but they were to come back in that game, and they were able to do some things and start playing better. Mike Conley started playing better as he came back in the game. And they went into the half. I think they had led, I think about five. I think it was the halftime. It was like 50-45 at half. And you're in that game. You know, the Bucks scored 28 in the first half, 28 in the first quarter, 22 in the second quarter, and the Grizzlies 20 and 25 respectively. And you know, the big thing is that first quarter, that first part of that first quarter, that was really kind of hindered them in that first half. But again, the bench came in, they were able to overcome it. And the biggest thing about the first part of the first half, or the kind of the middle part of the first half with the bench unit in there, the biggest thing about that is they played hard. Even the first part, even with the starters in, that whole first half, they played hard. They played like they wanted to be there. They played like they deserved to be there. I mean, they played like a basketball team that wanted to win a game. And you're like, all right, this is cool. Like, I think I tweeted, like, this is fun. Like, I'm okay. I am okay if that's what we're doing on a nightly basis and you lose. Like, I'm okay with that. I'm fine because I understand the Grizzlies just aren't as good as everybody else. I've got some injuries. They don't have as good of players as other teams do, partly due to injury, partly due to roster construction. And yeah, they're flaws with the team. I get it. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay if we go out there and we play hard. If we go out there and you compete and you just try. You know, I'm okay understanding that sometimes you're gonna lose those games because Milwaukee's a really, really good team for a reason. There are a lot of other teams that you're gonna play coming up that are good teams for a reason, including the Rockets. That's okay. And if you continue to do that every first half or every game, you play like you played in the first half, you know, you're gonna win some games. Like, you're gonna be competitive in the first half throughout the game. You're gonna win some games. The same thing happened in the first half of the Houston Rockets game. They were competitive. They played hard. You know, if you continue that momentum in the second half, you the outcome's probably the same. You probably lose. Like, James Harden probably goes off. I mean, you probably understand that, but that's okay because you competed, you played hard, and you just lose because Houston is a really good team. I mean, and Jason Harden's like a superstar. You just understand that. And that was the most promising part of the first half. Like, you can see, like, okay, this is better. Like, this is, you're progressing, you're doing things. You're, you know, the starters didn't play well, but that's okay because their bench came in and kind of saved you, and did some things well. And then the starters came back in the second half, or the second half of the second quarter, excuse me, and we're able to continue that all the way through halftime. So that was the most promising thing about that first half. And then you had halftime, and for whatever reason, the Grizzlies have halftime and they decide that is not, like, they're going to get worse. I don't know. We'll talk about the second half. We're going to take a quick break. We'll talk about the second half and how all that unfolded and came crumbling down for the Grizzlies. Welcome back to the show. So the second half happened. Halftime happened. And then the Grizzlies, they had, like, you know, in Space Jam where you get the secret, the Toons get the secret sauce. The Grizzlies do that, the opposite of that at halftime. Whatever the opposite of that is, that's what they do. Because they came out, actually, in the first part of the third quarter, they still continued that. They played well. Like, that first part of that third quarter, I was thinking, this is different. and I'm okay with it. The Grizzlies are competing. They're still playing hard. I mean, I get it. Like, it's good. It's fine. It was different than what happened in Houston. And then Marc Gasol hits a huge three. They go up one, and you're like, man, this is okay. The crowd's into it. You know, this looks like they're going to stay competitive. I mean, because that was a question at halftime. I even tweeted it out that I was like, you know, now what? Like, you did it the first half, you're competitive. Now what? What are you going to do in the second half? What are you going to do when you come back out and you have to stay competitive for another half? Because they didn't do that in Houston, and they're notorious for it. So that was kind of my question, is now what? And they had largely answered in the first part of that third quarter. They largely answered that question with they were going to stay competitive. And they Budenholzer calls a timeout after that three. And then everything fell apart. They were even able to get four fouls on Giannis, which was good. You know, kind of they took him out of the game for the, right at that timeout because of the four fouls after Mark hit that three. And then Eric Bledsoe scores nine straight, and it's just like, man. And once Eric Bledsoe scored nine straight, this team just folded. You could tell the entire body language, the energy, everything changed. And it was just, you know, it was just, you could tell right away that they knew they were not winning this game and they gave up. And that, I think that is the biggest problem that, you know, not only it's frustrating for myself, it's frustrating for fans, because you just want your team to go out there and you just want them to compete. You want them to play hard. Like I said, if you just play hard, like you did in the first half, in the first half, you were 2 for 14. The starters were like 20% and like made one. I mean, they were awful, but they competed and they played hard. And so they were able to stay in the game because they played hard. They understood that the shots weren't falling and they were going to, you know, that was okay. And the bench came in and really helped them out. And they were able to come back in the starters to come back in the second quarter and continue what the bench unit had done. And that's kind of the issue, is that you can't just fold like that. It happened the same thing, the same way in Houston. In the early part of the third quarter, Houston went on a small run, and that small run turned into a huge run, and then it was over. And the same thing happened. They went from a nine-point run, and then it turned into a 16-0 run in like 3 minutes. I mean, they were down, I would think within three to four minutes of game time, they were down 18 points, and it was over. And that is the most frustrating part about this loss, is that it just all that's what you want your guys to do out there. Mentally, you can't just cave like that. And that was kind of prevalent when we talked to everybody in the locker room. It was a mental game. It was, you know, you can't continue to give up leads. You can't continue to give up runs like that. They had eight or nine turnovers in the third quarter for 20 points. It's just, you can't win any basketball. If you have eight turnovers, just about anybody, especially Milwaukee, a team that runs, if you have eight turnovers in one quarter, you're not gonna win very many games. Total, it was 15 turnovers for 25 points. Jared Jackson Jr. largely non-existent, 2 for 7 from the field, with 7 points, 21 minutes. Garrett, you know, if you want to look at silver linings, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley only played 24 and 23 minutes because they didn't have to, because the game was over. So they got a little bit of rest. If you want silver linings, I think most people would probably rather have the win. But you look at silver linings, Justin Holiday got the start last night. And in the second straight game in a row, a starter that started the game for the Grizzlies was also out there during mop-up duty. Javon Carter was the last one, and Justin Holiday was this one in this game. Justin Holiday still not playing well. He was 1 for 4 from the field, 1 for 2 from three, but he finally made a three, I guess. He was 5 points, 4 steals, 4 rebounds, just 1 block shot, 2 turnovers. Just, you know, not great. I think now Justin Holiday is like 1 for 16 from three. So, you know, they're going to have to get that turned around quick. I mean, if you want, I don't know what Justin Holiday ultimately is. I know what Justin Holiday is supposed to be. I don't know what he ultimately is. I've already said it on this show. You overpaid for him, but he's here now. And so I was glad to see him get the start. And I even tweeted the fact that he got the start because he's here now. You paid money to get him, basically. So you got to see what you got to at least play him and give him the minutes and see. I mean, you have to do something, especially giving up as much as you gave up for him. You have to at least see what you got. At least give him the minutes. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If he's not good, he's not good. And you just put him on the bench and he walks away this summer and it's another kind of, you know, thing that Grizzlies messed up. You add that to the stockpile of trades or draft picks or assets they've given away to get guys that didn't work. You just add that to the pile of things they've screwed up, which is look like it's trending in that direction. But you at least have to give him the minutes every night. At least especially right now with your wing rotation or ring depth as like it is, with basically non-existent, with Garrett and Justin and Omri playing kind of the wings. I mean, you have to give them the minutes now because, A, you don't have anybody else to play, so it's not really like it's going to change. And, you know, it's a guy who is largely playing well for the Bulls, not great, but playing well, making some shots, defensively doing things really well. So that player is in there somewhere. It's just going to take some time, I think, to find it. So I think patience is probably the, that's the key on Justin Holiday right now. I think it'll come. Hopefully it'll come. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. If it doesn't, he's not good. That's okay. You move on. It's not okay, but you move on, and that's in whatever. But you at least you have to give him the chance. And I understand he's like 1-for-16 from three now. Not great, as we've noted, but you know, you have to at least give him the time to make a difference or to learn stuff. I don't know how much that time is. I don't know what the timeline is like of learning schemes and defensively and offensively for trades like that. So I'm not sure exactly usually how long someone says, okay, now I've learned it. But he has been here a little bit now. So you think by now he's getting a little more in tune with offensively what is expected of him, and guys are getting used to playing with him a little bit more. So I think you'll continue to see him play. Hopefully he'll get out of his shooting slump and be a contributor on a regular night for the Grizzlies. Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, both 14 points, took 13, 14 shots respectively, which is fine. Look, I'm not gonna gripe over the shot distribution night because it was the game was over. Basically mid third quarter, the game was over. So I'm not going to gripe about the shot distribution right now because it is what it is. I don't think it's a game you can probably really, you know, especially from the final box score, it's like not a game where you can really determine exactly who should have taken which shots. I'm not even going to complain about Jaren Jackson's minutes. I mean, you know, should you have gotten Jaren Jackson involved earlier on? I don't know, maybe, you know, but I think that's so far off of what's wrong with this team that I think that's like so far down the list. There's so many things wrong. I think that's pretty far down the list of what things you should be talking about. I don't know. You know, the defense was just, it was just not good. It was not good at all. So, you know, and it's that defense starts with the perimeter play. You know, if you can't stay in front of your guy, okay, if you get screened out of the play, or if you can't stay in front of your guy, then if they make it into the lane, then the help defense has to come from the weak side into the paint. And as we've seen it time and time again, as soon as that help defense comes into the paint, they kick it out for an open three, and it's just open three after open three. But that starts with perimeter defense and how you play the screen in action, or if you just can't stay in front of your defender. It starts there. Once you get someone driving into the lane, once you get, you know, action inside the lane, the defense is naturally going to collapse. I mean, it has to collapse. It has to rotate to the driver. Someone has to help, and that leaves open three-pointers. So the way they play the screening action, the way they are able to not stay in front of players on the perimeter, and it starts there. If the open three-pointer issue starts on the way you play the perimeter, because that dictates how everything else on the defense flows. The way you play the screening action, the pick and roll, that the way you do that dictates the way the rest of the defense flows. So stopping those dribble drive penetrations, that's kind of your main starting point. And the Grizzlies, they failed at that again last night. Eric Bledsoe just blew by a bunch of people getting straight line drives to the rim, and it's almost affecting them enough where they're afraid to help into the lane because they know if they help in the lane, then they're just getting kicked out to the three-pointer. So you saw in the Houston game as well, they kind of got froze because James Harden was getting just drives right to the rim, and they were freezing because they were freezing. They were kind of staying attached to their man, didn't really, you know, what they should be helping or not. And then in that second half, they overhelped, helped into the lane, and then kicked out for three-pointer. So, you know, the way you people are, you know, able to stay in front of their man, in front of the guards on these teams is kind of where it starts. The way they play the pick and roll is where it starts. If you can't fix that, the defenses can continue to struggle. So they have to fix that right away. Coming up next, we're going to listen to all the player sound from the locker room, and then we'll wrap up this show. Welcome back to the show. Let's start with Omri Caspi.
We didn't start a game off well enough. We needed to get the crowd going a little bit, and eventually we were going. I've never been in a game with so many swings. Being down 2 and then going down 30 and then coming back down 10, so it was weird.
Yeah, you guys took that 1-point lead and then they go on a 19-0 run. What was not working for you guys there?
I don't know. A lot of open threes. Made some shots. And at this point, you've got to slow the game down a little bit, maybe, you know, get a foul and try to get back into it to our rhythm. But like, the game kind of got away from us. We're playing to their speed, a lot of turnovers. When they go out and run, you know, our defense can't get set, and that's tough for our defense.
Andre, do you feel like you've got an opportunity here with the injuries and having played well recently to maybe lobby for a larger role moving forward this year?
Yeah, it's part of, you know, the NBA, obviously, you know, so always got to be ready, stay in shape, stay in rhythm, and when the opportunity is there for you, so you got to perform.
Overall, how would you describe the team mood right now?
It's pretty sucks, you know, it's, so lost the 10 and lost 11, so, you know, we got to take a stance as a team, and, you know, we got to stop the slide, you know, and it's been like that for a while, so. Enough talking. We got to do more on the court. Change our rhythm. Change what's going on for us, because it obviously doesn't look good.
That was Justin Holiday. That was Omri Caspi. Let's go to Justin Holiday now.
It's good to see one go. Hopefully, a lot more go after this.
What's maybe been the biggest transition for you in just a couple weeks?
I'm just trying to learn everything this team, you know, likes to do. And you know, when I say learn it, also, you know, have it to where I can react quick without thinking. You know, I'm just trying to, again, get as many reps as I can at what the team wants to do here. And, you know, the more I know, the faster I can, you know, can get to it, the better I'll be.
A bit of a learning curve, maybe on both sides, where they're figuring out where you like the ball and you're figuring out what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, it's tough, though, when they kind of figure out exactly where and when is going to happen for me, because I'm not used to everything, but I'm getting there, getting more comfortable. And I just think, you know, more comfortable I get, you know, the better it'll be for everyone, and the, you know, more they'll be able to see and know.
I'm sure you already answered this, but can you just describe kind of, I mean, how hard has this adjustment been for you?
How hard? I would say it's just challenging. Again, I've, you know, playing with that team for years and did a certain thing a certain way that I knew like in the back of my hand, and to be somewhere where you don't know it like that, you know, challenges you, but at the same time I think it's gonna be good for me. It's gonna help me grow. I think I can adjust.
That was Justin Holiday. Let's go to Mike Conley.
All right, you think tonight's gonna be different?
For sure, man. After that, it was in the blink of an eye something happened, you know. One, you know, they're a good team. They make runs like that, and that's what makes them one of the elites. But we have to do a better job in those points of the game of realizing what's going on. You know, when they make a run, when we turn the ball over, don't get a good possession, to find something within ourselves to calm things down, not panic, and not let one play turn into two or three that really snowball into, you know, what you saw in that third.
You guys beat them in a close high-scoring game on their court basically 2 months ago. Are you guys just that different, or?
Right now we're just trying to find it, just trying to find something. We've always been a defensive team. We've always had tried to hang our hat on that, and we haven't been that consistent. But right now, offensively, we're just trying to find it. We're trying to give guys easy looks, opportunities, and we're just making, shooting ourselves in the foot a lot of times, turning the ball over, and, unforced errors and stuff like that really kind of turn momentum into the other team's favor. And we have to practice it, and we have to continue to try to work on it.
Mike, given you and Mark's age and what you meant to this franchise, is it important to you guys to make sure that this season doesn't kind of slip away?
Oh, yeah. Mark and I have had a sense of urgency from day one. For me, it's a special season. I didn't get to play last year at all, so every game means a lot to me, and it's really hard losing from, my perspective. And I know I have to be better. I know I have to be accountable for things that I need to do better in the games, and take my responsibility and try to get us back on track.
And for this long of a stretch in your time?
We've had teams that have been tested, and this is no different. I think that we have a lot of good guys in this room, a lot of guys who've been on different teams that have been in similar situations, and we just have to find a way to, to feel what winning's like, to get those winning habits back. It's hard when you feel like you do everything you can some nights and it just doesn't go for you, and then other nights, like tonight, you just miss a 6-7 minute period of a game that costs you a game, and we just have to find a way to put it all together and build some momentum, because these games are not getting easier as we go forward.
What is the feeling for you, Mike? You guys have never had a stretch like this that I can remember with you and Mark both healthy. With Mark out or you out, you guys have struggled, but you guys are both relatively healthy. Does that add to the frustration that you see when you guys are both playing this kind of performance?
Yeah, I think that's what makes us most frustrated, because we're, Mark and I are so used to winning. We've built a lot here. We've kind of set standards in a way that everybody who's coming here has followed that, and the group here has done a great job as well, but for whatever reason we just have hit this slump and haven't been able to get out, and me and Mark, both take a lot of responsibility on that, and we have to be better if we're going to be better.
You guys had a meeting last week that Mark called and talked about some of the stuff and had a good performance against San Antonio, but now you're facing some of the similar things. Does something else drastic need to happen, given, you guys have won 7 games since Thanksgiving?
Really, there's nobody coming to save us. We have to do it. We have to find a way. There's no other way around it. The guys in the locker room understand that, and we can't lay down for anybody. We have to continue to be that team that, regardless if we win or lose, you felt us that night. And I think that we, somewhere along the way, in the last month, have kind of lost that part of ourselves and that part of our identity, and we have to get that back. Like what Javon and J. Mike and that energy they brought tonight is what we all need to be capable, because we're all capable of doing it. And at some point, we have to look in the mirror and do that.
That was Mike Conley. Yeah, I mean, you heard Peter Edmondson say it there. It's they've won 7 games since Thanksgiving, which is pretty terrible. So, yeah, I mean, they have to be better, bring more energy. Here's Garrett Temple.
Mark makes that one, makes that 3-pointer. Guys go up 1. What happens?
Man, I came in here and looked at the play-by-play because I wanted to watch it. I couldn't wait to watch the film. First of all, we had 8 turnovers in the third quarter. First of all, our starters, we didn't bring it in the first half. Whole game, honestly, but the bench did what they're supposed to do. Third quarter, after they called that timeout, they took Giannis out. I didn't even realize that. And we had 3 turnovers in that stretch, and missed some shots, got a couple of shots blocked. And they're a fast break team. When they get on the fast break, they score. So,
what do you guys have to do mentally to come back out and compete in the second half? Because you guys compete in the first half.
You just got
to
compete. I mean, it is what it is. it's nothing you can really talk about doing. You just have to go out and compete and not let one run, basically put you in the dirt. And that's what we did, and that's honestly been a theme. We got to figure something out. We got to come out and complete. We can't let one run have our heads down, and that's exactly what happened tonight. It was embarrassing, honestly.
You guys beat them in Milwaukee on their floor. Does that seem like a really long time ago now? Or?
I mean, it was, however many months ago, but we had a whole different mentality, man. We really had that grit and grind mentality. Right now, we're not playing with nearly as much confidence on both ends of the court. And, in that game, they made a run in the second half, and we were able to withstand it and punch right back. And that's something that we haven't done over the last month at all, when any team has made a run. This basketball is a game of runs, and it's going to be something that we got to figure out some type of way to get it back.
You think this team is different from when you guys started the season, mentally, than then and now?
From when we started, every team's going to be different mentally. Three or four months in, we're not at the spot where we need to be mentally, that's for sure, and we got to get back to it.
Do you think the effort's where it needs to be right now?
No. I mean, you let somebody go on a 19-0 run, some type of way, you got to figure something out. So I don't think the effort is where it needs to
be. I think our guys looking at, it'd be human nature to look at the record and see that, the math starts to work against you to what the goals were at the start of the season. Is that part of it, you think?
Not at all, because I don't think the math is working against us. We got 30-plus games left, and last I checked, before this game, we were 3 games out of the loss column, out of the 8th seed. So 30-plus plus 3, 30-3 is a lot of time left.
Running theme there for those guys, and that locker room was really just effort. They have to continue to get back to what they were doing earlier in the season. This team, Garrett's right, this team is completely different. 180 degrees from where they started this year, as far as the way they mentally and effort and the way they play the game to now. So that's something they're gonna have to, if they want to get back to winning games, they have to figure out a way to just play hard. Just like Mike said, Javon, Jamichael, those guys played extremely hard tonight. They were in the game. They played like they wanted to win the game. And the rest of the starters didn't. Once that first run hit, they didn't care anymore. They gave up. And Mike Conley said it when he, they have to be able to get back to what, doing what they were doing or in the year, even if they lose the game, at least they know they went out there, competed, and played hard. And I think that's, anybody can ask for. Like I said earlier in the show, if you go out there and play hard, you lose the game, that's okay, because you at least competed and you tried. And then some teams are just better than you on some nights. But that's it for today's show. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz. If you want to be a featured sponsor on this show, make sure you email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. We can have that conversation. We have a great audience, and it continues to grow every single day. Make sure you follow us, subscribe in iTunes. Go download the podcast wherever you get it, Stitcher, doesn't matter, or just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.